what started a year ago, the first Sunday in January, ends this evening. I hope you've been blessed by the study of this book. I certainly have. We have learned quite a bit as we started in chapter 1. If you'll recall, we skipped chapters 2 and 3 because those are the letters to the seven churches. Eventually, the Lord willing, I'll probably preach on those seven churches on seven consecutive Sunday mornings. Don't know when I'll do that, but I probably eventually will. I hope you know more about prophecy tonight than you did when we started this series in Revelation. It has been very gratifying to me. And I want us to read our text this evening, and then we'll make some comments and be through with the book. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 6. You almost have to scrape the rust off your brain since the last time we were here. That was way back in late March. We've had a number of different things going on, but since the last time we were here, we actually stopped in the fifth verse. So in Revelation 22, 6, he said to me, this is the angel that is leading John on this tour of the New Jerusalem. He said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. These words are in red. These are the words of Jesus. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do it not, for I am your fellow servant. Isn't that an amazing thing that the angel said to John, we're servants together, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. And then look at what the angel told John to do, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And now these words, written in red, the words of Jesus, behold, I am coming quickly. For the second time, Jesus tells you this evening, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But on the outside of the city are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices lying. These words in red again, Jesus talking, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him of the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want you to notice the first thing tonight in this text. It is the accuracy of the book of Revelation. The angel said to John in verse number 6, "These words are faithful and true." Everything I have preached about in Revelation, going all the way back a year and 4 months, every word of the prophecy of this book, true and faithful. You know, very few people have gone to heaven and come back to file a report. In fact, Paul went in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he was in front of the throne of God and came back, and John was ushered into the very New Jerusalem. He came back to file a report, and John doesn't give us all the details about heaven and about the future. He merely paints a big picture, but every word of this book can be trusted. Now, I want you to notice one word in verse number 6. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Shortly. Does that mean that the things written in this book right here are going to happen tomorrow? Not necessarily. Or next month, or even next year? No. The word shortly here cannot be interpreted to mean that everything in Revelation is going to be fulfilled in the next few years. But I want you to listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, where Peter said, "A day in the sight of the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day." God is on a different calendar than we are. God is on a different timetable than we are. What may seem like a short time to us may not be in God's calendar. If a day in the sight of the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day, that means Jesus has only been gone 2 days. If a day in the sight of the Lord is like 1,000 years, because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus has gone back to heaven. So God is on a different kind of a calendar than we are. Secondly, there's not only the accuracy of this book, there's the assurance of his return. Look at verse number 7, chapter 22. Jesus said, "I am coming quickly." Now be careful how you interpret the word quickly. There are a lot of people who will read that word and they want to substitute another word. They think that means soon, and it doesn't. When Jesus said, "I'm coming quickly," he didn't mean "I'm coming soon," because the fact of the matter is, he may not be coming soon. It is very possible it could be 50,000 years before the rapture of the church. That word, quickly, simply means suddenly, with great speed. Let me interpret it for you. "When I'm coming," Jesus said, "at the moment of the rapture, I am going to come suddenly." In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said it's going to happen, the rapture of the church, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When Christ returns in the rapture, it will happen with great speed. Boy, I got phone calls this week about the rapture. Oh yeah, I did. One lady called me on Thursday afternoon. I could barely make out the words she was trying to articulate because she was sobbing over the phone. Crying. She didn't tell me her name. She just said, "Preacher, is it going to happen? Is the rapture going to occur on Saturday at 6 o'clock in the afternoon?" And I said to her, "I can guarantee you 100% no." She said, "How can you be so sure?" I said, "Because Jesus put the issue to rest. See, every now and then, some spiritual nut job like Harold Camping will come along and he'll try to tell you that he's done all the math in the Old Testament and he's done all the prophetic studies and he's come up with an hour and a day, and that flies in the face of what Jesus said. Listen to Jesus. No man knoweth the day or the hour, and Harold Camping prophesied the day and the hour. May the 21st, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Daylight Time. Anybody who tells you the day or the hour doesn't know what they're talking about. They're out of their mind. Jesus said, no one can predict when I'm going to return. Jesus did say, when I do return, it is going to happen suddenly. Behold, I come quickly, meaning with great speed. Now, even though we don't know when Christ is going to return, we know that it could be any moment. There is nothing left to be fulfilled that would prevent Jesus from returning tonight at 10 o'clock in the evening. I am coming at any moment, be ready. And he goes on to tell us, blessed is he, look at verse 7, who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Meaning, blessed is the person who realizes that the book of Revelation is inspired scripture and we hold it dear. We guard these words as very, very important. In fact, there are some preachers. I talked to one recently, not of this denomination. He's a member of a mainline denomination who said, I have never and have no intention of preaching through the book of Revelation. Do you know that God put this book in His Word and He wants it preached? Because it is prophetic, it hasn't been fulfilled yet. There are those who come to the book of Revelation and they're called preterists. P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T-S, meaning they believe that the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. It's all historical. Nero was the Antichrist. Everything that happened in the book has already occurred back in the days of the ancient Roman Empire. Therefore, this book holds nothing for us in our day and age. I am telling you, this book is not fulfilled already. It has yet to be fulfilled. And the prophecies of this book are relevant for our day and age. There are other preachers who will not preach through the book because they're afraid of it. They don't know what to make of it. But we know that the words of the prophecy of this book are accurate, and Christ had assured us in verse number 7 of His return. Thirdly, look at the adoration of the messenger, the angel. John, in verse 8, he is so overwhelmed by the glory of this angel who gives the message that John, when he heard and saw these things, fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. You know what angels are? They're messengers of God. They're not to be worshipped. They're not to be adored. He's already been warned once not to do this. Turn back to Revelation 19. Quickly, go back to Revelation 19. Look at verse 10. John, very candid about it, he said, I fell down at the feet of the angel to worship him, and he said to me, see that you do not do this. For the second time, the angel tells him, I am your fellow servant. We don't worship angels. We don't worship men. Peter walked into the home of Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius bowed at the feet of Simon Peter. And Peter said, get up, I'm just a man like you are. The angel said, don't you worship me, I'm your fellow servant. There is only one person at whose feet we're to fall, and that is the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the hymn go like this. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. In Revelation 1:17, John saw Jesus on the island of Patmos, and he bowed at the feet of the Savior, the only one at whose feet we are to bow. So the angel refused worship and said, "Worship God alone." Boy, this thought hit me this afternoon as I was looking over this message. If the angel was so glorious that John on two occasions was tempted to worship the angel, how glorious Jesus must be. Think about that. To be tempted to worship an angel and then one day to see Christ in all of his glory. Amazing. Number four, there's the announcement of the messenger in verses 10 and 11. In verse 10, he said to me, "Don't seal the words of the prophecy of this book." Now, here's why that's important. Because if you were to read Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, the angel said to Daniel, "Daniel, seal up the words of the prophecy of this book." Do you know why Daniel 12:4 says, "Daniel, I want you to seal up the words of the prophecy of this book"? Because when Daniel heard the angel say that, the words in Daniel were not close to being fulfilled. But the reason the angel said in verses 10 and 11 not to seal up the words of the book of Revelation is because the time, look at it, verse number 10, he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book." The time is at hand. We are drawing ever closer to the words of this book being fulfilled. Now look at verse 11. Amazing verse. "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." Two different translations of what this means, two different views. Let me quickly share them with you. There are those who believe that these verses mean that the coming of Christ is going to happen so quickly that man cannot change his spiritual condition the moment the rapture happens. There are those who believe that's what verse 11 is teaching. If you're unjust, the moment Jesus returns, you'll remain unjust. That's true. If you're filthy, the moment Jesus returns, you'll remain filthy. If you're holy, if you're righteous when Jesus returns, you'll stay in that condition. And there is truth to that because Christ is going to come so quickly. Didn't he just say that a moment ago? "Behold, I come quickly," meaning suddenly or with great speed. When he comes in the rapture, no one will have an opportunity to be saved. I had a man tell me years ago, he said, I'm planning the moment Jesus returns in the rapture. When I look up and see him in the clouds of the air, he said, I'm going to be saved at that very moment. And I said, "Sir, with all due respect, your hope and anticipation of being saved the moment the trumpet blows falls well short of what Scripture teaches. Because the Bible says that when Christ returns with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, only the saved will hear him. Only the saved will hear the trumpet. Unbelievers will not see him return, and they will not hear the shout of the archangel, the trumpet of God. How can you be saved in 1/1000th of a second? That's exactly how long it's going to take for the church to be translated in heaven. A moment, the twinkling of an eye, 1/1000th of a second. The unbeliever isn't going to see him when he returns in the rapture, neither hear him. There will not be time to be saved. But let me tell you what I think this verse 11 means. If you're unjust, you'll be unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous, righteous still, holy, holy still. I believe what this means is that whatever condition you die in, that's the condition you'll remain in throughout all of eternity. Exactly what I think verse 11 means. If you die holy, you're going to be holy for all of eternity. If you die righteous, you're going to be righteous in heaven at the feet of Jesus for all of eternity. But ladies and gentlemen, if you die filthy, if you die unholy, you will stay that way forever. Hell will not upgrade your spiritual condition. If you pass from this life into eternity unjust, unholy, unrighteous, as is written right here, filthy, that's the way you're going to stay forever. Number five, there's the appearing of our Lord in verse number 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. You've already noticed, with me having read the text to you tonight, that three times Jesus said, I am coming quickly. It doesn't mean soon. Harold Camping said it was going to happen last night. It may happen next month. It may happen in 50,000 years. No man knoweth the day or the hour. When he said, I'm coming quickly, it doesn't mean soon. It means with great speed. We're going to be here one moment. The trumpet is going to blow, and the next moment we'll be in heaven. But I want you to know that he said, I'm bringing, look at verse number 12, my reward with me to give to everyone according to his works. The moment we're taken into heaven, we stand in front of the judgment seat and we give an account for our life since we've been saved, and we're going to be crowned for our faithful service to the Lord Jesus. Here one moment, heaven the next, when we get our everlasting reward. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know about you, but yesterday at 6 o'clock, I was sitting here in my office studying for a Genesis sermon that I'm going to be preaching in a few weeks. Looked at my watch at about 2 minutes till 6, and I knew the rapture wasn't going to happen. I just knew it because Harold Camping predicted the day of the hour. See, if you will remember, and this has been a while back, I was an Asheville pastor at the time. You remember Y2K? 1999, New Year's Eve, 1999, just before we crossed over into 2000, there were false teachers predicting the rapture at midnight, 1999, going into 2000, Y2K. I stood up in front of our people in Asheville the Sunday before that happened. I said, you can rest assured, Christ will not be coming on New Year's Eve because everybody's talking about the possibility that may happen. And Jesus said, I'm coming in the rapture at a time when men will not know it. And they're not going to be predicting my return. I'm going to come at a time when nobody expects it. That's what he said. And he said, anybody who tries to lead you to believe the day or the hour, you can write them off as a false teacher. But I want to ask you this question. If you knew for sure Christ was coming at 10 o'clock tonight, would it change your life? Would you have to find a prayer closet, repent of some things, get some things right with God if you knew Jesus was coming in 3 hours? They asked Martin Luther, the great reformer, Martin, if you knew Christ was coming tomorrow afternoon, what would you do? He said nothing. I wouldn't change anything about my life. Now, there's a man who's right with God. If he said, I knew Jesus was coming in 2 hours, but wouldn't have to repent of anything, there's a man walking with the Lord. It was that same Martin Luther who said, we live as Christians as though Jesus died yesterday, rose again today, and is coming again tomorrow. Well, let's look at some last things as we close the book, shall we? The last witness. This is the last time in the Word of God Jesus will witness to us that He is God. Would you look at verse number 13? I'm the Alpha. I have always existed. This is Jesus saying, I'm God because I never had a beginning. I'm the Omega, the last word in the Greek alphabet, meaning I'll never have an ending. I'm God. And look what He said in verse number 13, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And would you look at verse 14? Here's the only way we get to heaven. Verse number 14, blessed are those who do His commandments. Christians do God's commandments. I said to the lady on the phone a few days ago, you're probably wondering about the rest of the story. I said, if Jesus were coming at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and I knew that for sure, that'd be the greatest thrill to know that I'm going to be in heaven, that I'm going to be with my Savior. If the thought of the imminent return of Christ scares you, there's something wrong with you spiritually. Can I repeat that? If the thought of the imminent return of Jesus scares you, you've got a spiritual problem. I'm telling you, if Jesus came tonight at 10 o'clock, I'd shout all the way up. Amen? I'm ready to meet Him. And one of the reasons I know I'm ready is because I am doing His commandments. I have been saved, and because I'm saved, I'm doing His commandments. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. There's that tree. We're going to see it in the book of Genesis, long about July, when we begin this verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Now it's been transported from Eden to the Garden of God in heaven. And we will eat from that tree for all of eternity, that we may have the right to this tree and through the gates of the city. I'm going through the gate one day. I'm going to eat of the tree one day because I've been saved. But look who's on the outside of the city in verse number 15. Dogs, that's another word for unbelievers. And look at that word sorcerers. Boy, that word pops up over and over in the New Testament. Drug users. People who are strung out on drugs. It is the Greek word pharmacia. Pharmacy. Drug users. Now these are just a few of the sins that unbelievers commit who are not going to heaven. The sexually immoral. Idolaters. That is those who worship other gods. Murderers. And whoever loves and practices a lie. Look over in Revelation 21, verse 8. We've already seen this verse, but he said, on the outside of the city, Revelation 21, 8, are the cowardly, that is those who refuse to be saved because they were ashamed of Jesus, unbelievers, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. These are just a few of the sins of the unbelieving world. Read on. Look at verse 16. Here's Jesus talking about His lineage. The words are in red. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David. Have you ever gone to the book of Luke and read his ancestry? Have you ever looked in the book of Luke and seen that Jesus is in the seed line of King David from the tribe of Judah? That's why he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I am the root of David, the offspring, humanly speaking, of David, the seed of David. That's his humanity. But look at what he calls himself regarding his deity. The bright and the morning star. Do you know what the day star is, the morning star? It's that first star that appears before the sun breaks in the east. You know what Jesus is saying here? Let me interpret this for you. This is outstanding. He's the first star to appear as the darkness will end one day for God's people. He is the day star, meaning one day for all of us, the darkness of night is going to be over and Jesus will come and take us home to heaven. He's the only hope for this sin-darkened world. He's the light of the city called the New Jerusalem. He is the light of the universe. We will bask in His glory forever. Well, there's not only the last witness, there's the last welcome. This is the last invitation given in the Word of God. Would you underline in verse 17 the word come? How many times that word is used? Over and over and over in Scripture. God said to Noah, come into the ark. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, all of you who labor, I'll give you rest. Right here, the last welcome, verse 17. The Holy Spirit makes the invitation to the unbeliever. Come, O Lamb of God, come. Do you know the door to the ark is still open? That ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And that ark was the refuge from the judgment of God. Jesus is the door to heaven. He called himself that in the Gospel of John. He said, I'm the door. Let me tell you what Jesus didn't say about himself. He didn't say, I'm one of many doors to heaven. He said, I'm the door. And that door sat open on Noah's ark for a long time. But there came a day when the door closed, and those who were out couldn't get in, and those who were in couldn't get out. You know what you are if you're a Christian? You're in. You're in the ark. You couldn't get out if you wanted to. You are a part of the forever family of God. But if you're an unbeliever, while the door to heaven is still open, Revelation 4:1, John said, I saw a door standing open in heaven. One day, that door is going to shut for all of eternity. Jesus said, come, come. The Holy Spirit invites you to come. Look who else invites unbelieving humanity to come. The bride, the church. We're to be about that business out here. We're to leave this place tonight issuing the invitation to people we come into contact with at school, on the job, in our community. Come, come. The door is still open. Let those who hear read on. Verse number 17. That is those who hear the words of this book. You've heard me preach for a year and 4 months through Revelation. You've heard the book. Now, your obligation is to take what you've heard and go out here and tell others. Come, come. What is the invitation? Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He's free and he's available. Look at this, verses 18 and 19. The last warning. There's the last witness. Jesus is God. The last welcome. You're welcome to come. Thirdly, the last warning. Verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. Now, what is this book? It's not the whole Bible. It is the book of Revelation. Now, you could say that God is warning unsaved humanity, don't you add anything to the whole Bible. There are those who have come up with additional revelation. There was a preacher a few years ago who told the world in a book that he wrote that God had given him the 67th book in Scripture. How many do we have? 66. He said God gave him a 67. This Harold Camping, just a few weeks ago, in a radio interview, said that God had given him revelation about when Jesus was going to return. The warning is, don't you add anything to the Word of God, specifically the book of Revelation. It stands on its own. Do you know what Harold Camping did? He added to the book of Revelation by predicting when Jesus was going to return. And what is the warning to anyone who would do that? Well, God says he will add in verse 18 to those who add to the words of the prophecy of this book the plagues that are written in this book. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone, listen to this. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean when I tell you. Anyone who adds to the Word of God is lost. They prove by the mere fact that they want to add to the words of Scripture that they don't know Christ is their Lord and Savior. There's another problem. Anyone who takes from the book. You see, in verse 18, it not only talks about addition, but in verse 19, subtraction. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, meaning the book of Revelation, God will take away his part from the tree of life. Who does that? Listen carefully. People who say the book of Revelation is a myth. It isn't real. You can't trust the words of this book. They subtract from the book of Revelation. Anyone who would do that proves by saying that they're lost. And God is going to punish them, according to verse 19, by taking away their part from the tree of life and from the book of life in verse number 19, meaning their names will be blotted out of the book of life, proving they were never saved to begin with. No true Christian would add anything to the book of Revelation or take anything away from it. If they do, they're proving that they're a false teacher. I had a professor in college, liberal, unsaved, and he taught through the New Testament. And we finished the book of Jude, and he said, you know, I'm not even going to get into the book of Revelation, this New Testament professor said, because I'm convinced, these are his words, I'm quoting him verbatim. He said, I'm convinced John was drunk when he wrote the book of Revelation. Nobody could write such crazy things unless he was inebriated. Now, a man like that is denying and taking from the Scripture what God has already written in the book of Revelation, and God promises anyone who does that will have their name blotted out of the book of life, proving they were never saved to begin with. There's one more thing. The last word. Look at verses 20 and 21. For the third time, Jesus said, behold, I am coming with great speed. When he comes, there will be no time for you to change your spiritual condition. And then in verse number 20, would you underline the words, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It is one word in the Greek, Maranatha. Maybe you've heard that word before. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know what John was saying? I'm ready. I'm ready for your return, Lord. That's why I could say to the lady who called on Thursday, I'm looking forward to the rapture. The thought of it causes me no fear whatsoever because I'm ready. I can say like John, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. John was ready. Are you ready? And then look at verse 21. The grace. You know what saves you? Grace. You know what helps you live the Christian life? Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John closes this book, the most exciting book in the New Testament, by encouraging you and saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. May His grace abide with all who read and study this book. So after 1 year and 4 months and 44 sermons, we close the book with the word amen, meaning so be it. I hope you've been blessed by this teaching. And we will go on Sunday night, June the 12th, in just a few weeks, from the last book in Scripture to the first one, the book of Genesis. Let's stand together.